I believe God has a dream for our community. I believe he has a dream that involves you and I. And I don't claim to know the whole picture, but I do believe God's given us a sliver of what he wants to do in this community moving forward. I believe it's going to cause us to grow. I believe it's going to stretch our faith. I believe it's going to test our will. And I believe it's going to be incredibly, incredibly rewarding and fulfilling. Something we'll be able to look at back on and say, God did that, and he let us be a part of it. Amen. Isn't that how things work? Things are incredibly rewarding and incredibly difficult at the same time. That's how it works, right? Anything worth doing that's rewarding takes work and is difficult. It made me think of parenting, right? Parenting is the most rewarding and the most difficult thing we can do. And I didn't know I could love another human being as much as I loved when we started having kids. And I remember when I was holding my daughter Addison, I couldn't believe that I could love, and it was the closest thing to unconditional love I'd ever felt. And I can remember one time, Gabrielle doesn't let me forget this. She was just a baby. We just brought her home from the hospital. We're new parents. We don't know what we're doing. And she would not stop crying. You know, you've been there. And so I'm holding her like this. And I'm like, baby, I don't know what to do. And then she stuck her little baby lip out. And I said, I'll give you anything you want. She had me. She had me right there. She has ever since. I had no idea it could be that good. And I also didn't know I could hurt so deeply. That when my kids hurt, man, I hurt in a way that's just unbearable sometimes. And when they go through disappointments, when they go through losing friends, when they go through when they're dating and they break up with somebody, man, those are just devastating. And that's the way it works, though. Anything rewarding is both amazing and difficult at the same time, right? So I want to share with you today God's dream, what I believe is God's dream for this community. And I'm going to start by talking to you how God called me to ministry. And so I'm going to back up a little bit, and we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 30. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to kind of unpack what it means to me. And so starting in verse 18, it says this, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you." Isn't that good news? The Lord longs to be gracious to you. "Therefore, he will rise to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you." There's a promise. "As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' Then you will desecrate your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold, and you will throw them away like a menstrual cloth and say to them, 'Away with you.'" Now, just to be clear, Isaiah 30 is a promise written to the people of Israel that is yet to be fulfilled. One day, God is going to do this restoration work with the people of Israel. I believe that's a promise that's coming. But I want to tell you today that this promise also has significance in my life. I believe it's a promise God gave back to me some years ago. And I've watched him fulfill specific things from this passage in my life. And the reason I'm going to share this with you today is because God's got a future vision where we're going to trust him, but I want to show you that he's already trustworthy and how he's been fulfilling his promises to this day. Because verse 23 is coming, and I can't wait to share it. But first, we're going to talk about this. So here's the main point I want us to get. Regardless of what you're going through, and as a church, as we look forward to what God wants to do in our community, that God is faithful to fulfill all that he's promised. Our God is faithful to fulfill all that he's promised. You believe that? Yeah. Our God is faithful to fulfill all the promises. So we're going to start in verse 18. I'm going to just walk you through kind of how this has impacted my life. I'm going to take you back to 1998, Rod. Man, I was young. Just married, had a great wife, had a good job as an engineer. Life was good. I mean, life was so good. We were volunteering in a church at the time and just giving a lot of our hours to that. And life was good, but it was taxing. It was demanding. And I tried to add it up. Between my job and my commute and serving at the church, it was probably 70 to 75 hours a week. It was a lot. And I remember thinking, I want to give God the best hours of my day. I felt like I was giving him my leftovers. And I wanted to give him the best hours of my day. So after a long week, after a long month, after a long day, I guess I had just come to the breaking point. And I came home and I crashed on the floor of my living room and I began to weep and just cry. And I said, God, would you please call me into ministry? I want to give you the best hours of my day. And during that time, my wife comes home. You don't know what's going on, but she's a sweetheart. And she just gets down on the floor with me and puts her arm around me and she prays with me. And I've never heard God in my ears, but I heard him in my heart, and he gave me a one-word answer, and he said, wait. Wait. So fast forward to the next year, and I'm out in the woods, and I'm praying about this, and I'm asking for God for direction in my life, and I'm seeking his face, and I'm reading this passage in Isaiah chapter 30, and I come across that passage we just read, and I felt like God was saying through that passage, it's time to go into ministry. And I remember holding my Bible up to God, because in case he forget, you know, what he had said. I was like, hey, God, I think you're calling me to ministry. And if you mean that, I'll go. And God was saying, go. It's time to leave what you're doing and time to go into ministry. And so he's saying the time for weeping is no more. Did you catch that in verse 18? There's going to come a time where you will weep no more. And that time has now come. It's time to go into ministry. He also said it was going to be difficult. See, in verse 19, he starts talking about you're going to drink the water of affliction and eat the bread of adversity, that there's going to be trials that come along as I call you into ministry. It's not going to be an easy road. There's going to be difficulty ahead of you that you're going to have to prepare for, and you're just going to have to go through. It's almost as if God was saying, you want something to cry about? I'll give you something. Your parents ever ask you that? They ever say that to you? My parents said, you're crying about something stupid, or at least something they think stupid is important to you, and you're crying, and they say, I'll give you something to cry about. Did that ever help? I mean, was that ever helpful to anybody ever? Anyway, I felt like God was saying that. Can I tell you, in 20-something years of ministry, there have been times that have cut Gabriel and I very deeply. And emotional hurt from relationships lost and people we've loved feel like they have let us down or hurt us intentionally. And we've wanted to quit, but God wouldn't let us. He wouldn't let us quit because he called us to it, and he's not called us away from it. We did set up and tear down as a church for 10 years. Think about that. 52 weeks times 9.5 years. You add up, there's a lot of Saturday nights and Sunday mornings of tearing all this stuff up. We had 2 26-foot trailers full of stuff, and we set it all up, and then we tear it all down. Too sweaty to go out to eat after church. It was good times. It was tough. It was hard days there. This promise to me to go into ministry was absolutely necessary. Can I tell you that the adversity that God brings in your life is absolutely necessary? Because that's what he says in James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, my brothers and sisters, because the testing of your faith will produce what? Perseverance. Perseverance. That God uses the adversity in our lives to form in us the character of Christ that good times never can. And so he said, listen, you're going to have hard times, but I'm going to be right there with you in the middle of it. And then he said, I'm going to give you teachers. Your teachers will be hidden from you no more. And can I tell you, that has been so true in my life, that God has brought godly people, godly men into my life to help guide me and craft me into the person that God wants me to become and be a better pastor and a better person. Names that you don't recognize: Gene Powell, JoJo Thomas, Ken Adams, Jay McSwain. And as I was writing those names down in this message a couple months ago, as I was writing this, and I was thinking about those guys and the impact that God had made in my life through their example. And when he says, your eyes will see them, I literally have seen these men, how they treat people and how they live their life, and their lives have been a model of an example to me. And as I thought about the teachings they gave me through the years, that ministry isn't about you, it's about Jesus, and it's not about what you get, it's what he gets, and just to humbly walk with God and try to serve him with my whole heart, that these are the men that God's used to pour that into my life. And I was thinking about those men, and a couple days later, after I wrote this message, I got this text. That's on the left is Jay McSwain, in the middle is Ken Adams, and the right is JoJo Thomas, three out of the four people I just mentioned. And since that calling in my life, by the way, Ken and JoJo know each other, but they had never met Jay before in their life, and they sent me that text and said, the only one person missing here is you. Man, I just felt like God saying, I hear you. These are the men that God's used to impact your life. By the way, Jay on the left is the one who wrote Place Ministries, and so we're doing a Place workshop this Saturday. If you're not using your gifts or you don't know what your gifts are, then you need to come Saturday, sign up for that, and discover those things and use them. Ken Adams in the middle is the pastor of Crossroads Noonan, who is our sending church. And then on the right is JoJo Thomas. He's the director of missions up here. He's been influential and foundational in this church becoming what it is. I owe a lot to these men. And indirectly, you do too. So they taught me to be a disciple first, more than trying to do ministry, to love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. They taught me that ministry is about building disciples and not trying to build a big church. Your job is to invest in people and love people and make disciples and let those disciples make more disciples. And if God wants to build a big church, that's God's business. You just stay focused on being faithful. I learned that from them. It also taught me in verse 22 in that passage we read that following this calling was going to cost me financially. I'm going to read that again. It said, you will then desecrate your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold, and you'll throw them away. See, as an engineer, I was making good money and I had prospects of making great money. My wife was working, and she had a career and making good money, and we were dinkwads. Dual income, no kids, with a dog. We had more money than we had sense. Everything was going great. And God said, but when I sensed this calling in my life in 1999, and God was doing this work, I went to some family and I went to my boss and I was telling them, I think I'm going to leave engineering and go be a minister. And they tried to talk me out of it. I don't know what that meant about them thinking me I would be a minister. They tried to tell me, no, you're going to make amazing money. You need to stay. But there was another voice in my head from Isaiah 30 that's saying, you need to get rid of it. You got to let go of the idea that you're going to make tons of money and have lots of stuff. You need to throw that away. And as it's stinky, nasty trash, throw it away. And don't let money become a... Follow me. You've got to let it go. So from being an engineer to starting this church, I took 3 pay cuts to do what I do. Since then, you guys have been incredibly generous and have blessed us financially amazingly. But I took 3 cuts, and God has always been faithful. Can I tell you, my God has always been faithful. I've never missed a meal. And my kids have never done without. Our God is faithful to do all that he promises. And he's going to do it as well. In fact, I want to say this again. God is faithful to fulfill all that he promises. And the reason I took you through verses 18 through 22 is I wanted you to see something. That when God has proven himself faithful in our past, it gives us confidence to believe he's going to be faithful in the future, doesn't it? That's exactly why he gave us Hebrews chapter 11 in our Bibles. When he said, look at Abraham, look at Enoch, look at all these people who trusted God. And as they trusted God, God found them faithful and he came through for them over and over again. He's always true to his promises. So take their examples and have faith to trust God for your future. That's why he says that. So he's given all kinds of promises in his word. God's word has promises for the people of nation of Israel that some of them he fulfilled when Christ came, some of them he's fulfilled through history, and some of them he's yet to fulfill, but he's going to fulfill them, I promise you. And there's promises he's given to every believer in Christ Jesus, foundational promises that we can grab a hold of and never let go of. Last month in December, we did a whole series called Emmanuel, God with Us. It's a promise that he's given to every believer, Ephesians 1:13, that having believed, you're marked in the seal with a promised Holy Spirit. Why is God always with you? Because he lives inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise. He's given you a promise that you can have victory over sin and any temptation in your life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has to get the best of you, but by God's grace and his help, you can be victorious over the sin in your life. It's a promise. He's given you a promise that you are secure in your position in Christ, that you have been ushered into the family of God by the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's why he can say in 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we might be called children of God, and that is who we are. It's a promise to all who believe in Christ Jesus. But what I'm saying to you this morning on top of that is I believe God gives specific promises to specific people. I don't know if you believe that or not. I still think he gives specific promises today. You can ask Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Paul, the Apostle John. To them today, God and through the ages has given promises to his people, and I still believe he's giving promises to them today. Let me just ask you, do you expect God to make promises to you? Now, I want you to wrestle with that question because that's a very deep theological question that you might need to go home and pray over. Some of you are going to go, absolutely, I believe God makes promises to me today. And other of you might have to wrestle with that and maybe not even agree with that. And listen, if you go, I don't know that that's true, that God's going to give me a promise for my life, that's okay. You have every promise in Christ Jesus, and they are sufficient, and they're all you need, and you don't have to feel deficient in any way. But I believe, this is what I'm telling you guys, I believe God gives promises specifically to his people because it's happened twice in my life, this passage being one of them, in the 33 years that I've known Jesus. He gave me a specific promise. And he's fulfilled them. That's why I took you through those first four verses. Because I believe God is faithful. He's proven himself faithful to me. Because God isn't just being faithful, God is faithful. It's a part of who he is. It's part of his nature and character. He is faithful. And that means he will be faithful. Y'all ready for verse 23? Yes. This is how I believe God's going to be faithful in the future. This is what it says. And he will also send you rain for the seed that you sow in the ground. And the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. All right, that's the cattle, your cattle will graze in broad meadows. All right, that sounds cool, but what does that mean? What does that mean? Can I tell you, that's something I've been asking for 20-something years. God, what does that mean? What are you saying when you say these things? Because you've answered all the other things up to this point. This is the last verse of the promise he gave me back in 1999. God, what does this part mean? Here's what I think it means. I believe there's a season coming where God is going to do extraordinary work of blessing this church and this community, that there's a harvest coming, that lives are going to be changed and transformed by the amazing power of Almighty God. It's like nothing we have ever seen before, and it's nothing short of revival. That's what I believe. You can give him praise. You can give him praise. That God is going to do only what God can do in our midst. And so let me tell you that part of the story. Let me back up to 2018. In 2018, we had purchased this building a year or two before that. And we were running about 200 people. Things were going good. We weren't set up and tear down anymore. I could go out to dinner after church and not be sweaty. It was great. Now I just flip on the lights. I love it. And it would have been so easy to go, you know what, we made it. We're going to be around for a while. We can kind of take it easy. Let's take our foot off the gas. Let's just decide we can coast for a while because that was a hard 10 years. And God says, I've got something more for you. And so we sensed that God wanted us to be listening, to hear, and to discern what he wanted for our church. More importantly, what he wanted for our community. And so normally the staff and the elders meet separately. For a season of this church back in that time, the elders fasted. We all read there every month, and we were praying for months and months and months. Some of us fasted. We all read the book, God Dreams, and went through that book together. And we said, God, what is your dream for this community? What do you want to do? How can we be a part of what you want to do in the lives of the people you've called us here to? And through that process, we landed on a really, really beautiful dream. In fact, it's on the video we showed as I walked out today. And it says something to the effect of that God's going to reclaim this community as we gather people in small groups and they grow together and they have authentic community and they share life together and they share the good news and they go on mission together and people's lives are changed and disciples are made and more groups are multiplied and this community is changed because this thing happens. And as if God was saying, you can't wait for them to come to you, you need to go to them. It's beautiful, right? And we're like, yes, God. And we all agreed that was exactly what God was saying us to do, that he wanted to do something powerful and he was inviting us to be a part of it. It was good, but it just wasn't complete. And I tried to put my finger on it for a while here, and I just really couldn't until this past summer. I went to the Republic of Georgia, and I was in a workshop, and I was watching a man lead other churches and other church leaders in the Republic of Georgia to dream about their God-given dream for their church in that place, recognize what it looked like, and for them to discern from the will of God what he wanted to do in that place. And I recognized we were missing one key component, that we did not have a God-sized goal in the middle of our dream. So we had a picture of what it was going to look like, but there was no timeline and there was no definitive end or goal. And so I came back to the elders and I said, and the staff, and I said, hey, would you guys pray with me? I think we're missing this one piece that we need to know. If God's going to do it, we need to know that God did it and not that we did it. And that if such is a God-sized goal, that it's not something we can just go, well, Crossroads did that. God did that. And so we prayed. All last year we were praying. Month go by, nothing. Next month, nothing. I think it was the third month. I was reading a book. It's called The Circle Maker. And it's one of those books that stretch your faith. And I'm reading the book. And you ever had those moments you're reading the book and you just put it down and you start praying? I was like, God, I've asked like 100 times in the last 3 months, what's your dream for Crossroads? What's that God-sized goal? Again, I've never heard in my ears, but my heart, I felt like God was saying, the next number you see is the number. I was like, what? Because God had never talked to me like that before. That was just kind of, and then I was like, well, God's talked through a donkey before, and he's talked through a burning bush before. I guess he can talk through that kind of thing before. I said, okay, God, if you say it's the next number I see, and it's the next number. And so I flipped the page. And I'll show the picture. This is the next page of what I saw. And the first number on that page was 2,000. I said, God, that's a big number. I don't know what to do with that number. That is a, oh my goodness, I don't even understand what 2,000 is supposed to mean. Because then we've been praying about and dreaming about how many small groups does God want to start at Crossroads Church. And then you give me this number, 2,000. I said, God, I want to have faith and I want to trust you, but 2,000? I'm dumb enough, I'll take it to the elders. And so the next elder meeting, I was like, guys, this is what I got. And I told them the story and I showed them the page and I said, this doesn't make any sense to me. And Mike Walker looks at me and says, what if that's 2,000 people? What if God wants 2,000 people living in community by 2030? I said, that doesn't help. That's still too big. No, I said, that maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. And so we kept praying, and over the next month or so, God affirmed, that is it. That's exactly what I do. I want you guys to go on mission with me to see 2,000 people that aren't even connected to a church or know me by name to know me and be in vital Christian community by 2030, 2,000 of them. In fact, I want you to just see it. We got to... about you that gets my blood pumping. It gets me excited. It gets me terrified. It gets me full of faith. It makes me realize there's an urgency to what we're doing. Can you imagine the impact of 2,000 people in this community living on their life with Jesus Christ, the families it's going to restore, the lives it's going to change, the way it's going to transform this community? It gets me excited. You know what else I love about it? It means every single one of us are involved in it. Our adult groups and our recovery groups and our student groups are all a part of this vision that we are going together to see God do something amazing. Only He can do. So I want to walk you through verse 23 as I'm trying to explain. This is my best understanding of what He's saying. When God says He's going to send rain for the seeds we sow on the ground, those seeds is the good news of Christ. In the scriptures, the seed is always the good news. He says, as you tell people the good news about Jesus, as you make them aware, if you show them with your works and you tell them with your mouth what Jesus Christ has done for them, I'm going to send rain and I'm going to cause such amazing growth that there's going to be a harvest coming, that the kingdom is going to grow far beyond you can imagine in the places where you live, work, and play. People are going to know the Savior. People are going to have life in Him. And their lives aren't going to be the same. And our community isn't going to be the same. He's going to send the rain. And He says when He sends the rain, that the food, that's the people, the food is the people. The disciples He makes are going to be rich and plentiful. They're going to be rich, meaning they're going to be people who love God. They're not going to be lukewarm in their faith. They're going to love God and they're going to obey God. And nobody's going to be perfect, but we're all making progress in our walk with Jesus Christ. And there's going to be a depth to our faith that we haven't had before. And we're going to be obedient. We're going to be people that are doers of the word, because there's nothing deeper than doing. We're going to be obedient to what God has for our lives. And He says the people are going to be plentiful. 2,000 sounds pretty plentiful, right? He says there's going to be a whole bunch of them. And I want you to know something. I've already told the staff and the elders this. Those 2,000 people aren't all coming here. And we need to be really good with that. Because listen, we can't fit 2,000 people in here. I'm just telling you, we can't fit them. I'm not preaching 8 times. We can't fit them, okay? But what if when you start reaching people where you live, when you start reaching people in your neighborhood, you start a Bible study at your workplace, you start a Bible study in your home, you start doing things where you go to school, and God starts doing works in the people in the lives around your life, they won't have to all come here. They're going to go in other places where they'll share and worship with God and with other believers. And we're good with that, right? Because the kingdom will be growing. That's what we want. That's what we want. They're going to be plentiful. It's going to change our community. And then that last line there, that the cattle will graze in broad meadows. You know what I think that means? I think God is going to give us influence as a church to touch lives beyond Jefferson, beyond Jackson County, beyond this immediate area, and we'll get to have influence through churches being planted out there somewhere, missionaries sent out to other places, trips to Republic of Georgia and seeing God do other works in other parts of the world, and we will get to have influence, and those cattle will graze in broad meadows far and beyond our influence here, because God is doing it, because God has promised it. And God is faithful to fulfill all that He promises. You know what? He gave me this promise back in 1999. And more importantly than Him finishing His promise to me is God finishing His work on this earth. That He would draw people that are far from Him to Him. That He would fulfill the Great Commission to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And surely I'll be with you to the very end of the age. God gave us a commission, and He expects it to be fulfilled, because He'll do the fulfilling as we follow Him in faith. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask some things of us as a church. And the first thing I think God is asking us is to have faith. to have faith. Faith doesn't do good once you're there. Faith doesn't do any good once it's already arrived. We can't go fast forward to 2030 and if God has done it, go, oh yeah, we had faith. No, it's too late for faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Faith precedes it actually becoming reality. That's what Hebrews 11:1 says. And so God is saying as a church body that you would believe and have faith to trust God to do what only God can do. Secondly, I believe as a church, he's calling us to believe in this vision. If this is what God has given us, that we would be bought in and buy into what God says he is going to do. Now listen, some of you have heard this. Some of our leaders have already heard this. Some of you, a lot of you, this is the first time you heard this. And I don't have the expectation that everybody's bought in right now. I don't have that expectation. But I'm going to ask that you would pray and seek God, that we could all come to the place where we believe this is our God-given vision and goal for our community. Thirdly, I'm going to ask that we all pray. I mean, whether it is in heaven. So we've given you a prayer guide. We're going to ask you to start praying for God to move in our community. This is just some sample prayers and some things you can pray for. Not this week, but next week, we're going to have a whole week of prayer. And this building is going to be open multiple times a day for you to come and pray or to take extra time where you are to pray. And we're going to see God's faith as a face as a people together and ask him and beg him to do what he's promised to do as we pray. You know what I'm also ask? That you come back next week because this is only the first half. I didn't want to keep you an hour and a half. There's a second half to this. There's our part in this. And so I'm going to ask you to come back. And lastly, I'm going to ask you to take a step of growth that you need to take spiritually in your life. And if you don't know Jesus Christ in a personal way, I'm not saying you haven't heard his name or know some things about him, but you have never surrendered your life to the living God through his son, Jesus Christ, that you would open up your heart to him today. I'm asking you, if you're not in a group and you've heard us talk about small groups over and over again here, that you would just go ahead and jump into a group. It's time to get in a group. That's where life happens in this church. Penny knows. And if you're in a group, I want to just blow your head off. It's going to take lots of groups and lots of group leaders to have 2,000 people in groups. So if you're in a group, that probably means in the next 8 years, God wants you to lead a group. Let's pray. So, Father, I just want to declare you are so good. You are so faithful. You never renege on a promise. God, I thank you for the promises that are ours in Christ Jesus. And I thank you for the vision and the direction and the goal that you've laid on Crossroads Heart. To see this transformation happen in our community, life by life, family by family, person by person, their hearts are turned to you. And so, Father, first of all, I just pray for the faith in us. God, would you grant us faith to trust you, that you can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. You can do this. Father, I pray you give us the belief to be all in on what you're calling us to do as a church. God, I pray for those who need to take a step in their spiritual journey today. God, a room this big, I believe there's somebody in this room that they need to surrender their life to Christ. Because the reality is, there is no life apart from him. There is no real life apart from Jesus Christ. And so what God is asking you today, if that's you, God's asking you to turn from your sin, the things that separate you from God, the things that weigh heavy on your conscience and bring condemnation and guilt and shame. God said, I came, Jesus Christ came, so he could bear those things on a cross and pay for them in full so that you can be set free from those things and given new life in Jesus Christ if you will turn from those sins. Say, God, I don't want to follow that path anymore. And I need Jesus to intervene. You'll just turn to Jesus. If that's you this morning, make that your prayer. God, I want to turn from those things. And I want to turn to Jesus. I believe he paid for them in full. And I believe he rose from the dead to set me free. You say, that sounds so simple. It is. But listen, it was costly. It cost Jesus his life. and his payment was sufficient for you. Turn to Christ, put your faith in him. Father, I want to pray for your church, God, that we would be people who take that step of faith boldly, whether that's getting in a group, saying it's time for me to learn and be trained how to lead, whether that's going to the workshop this Saturday and finding my gifts and knowing how to use them for your glory. God, if I could just so boldly pray as a church for our church. God, we don't want the credit. We don't want any glory. We just want you to do what only you can do so that you get all the glory, that lives would be changed by you. God, I pray, we pray that in 2030, somehow, some way, we couldn't even imagine if we tried, that you will have 2,000 people living in vibrant Christian community because you did it and because we were faithful to follow. God, give us the faith to trust you. Give us the boldness to follow you. I pray in Jesus' name.